Hello, friends. I'm Marissa Blackwood, and welcome to All Things Murder. Welcome to All Things Murder, the show that dives into real true crime cases that inspired pop culture movies and shows we know today. I'm Marissa Blackwood, and man, this case feels like another Bonnie and Clyde duo, involving carjacking and, of course, murder. This case inspired Peter Jackson's film The Frighteners for an inspired killer who goes on a similar murder spree with a female accomplice. For today, my friends, we'll be discussing Charles Raymond Starkweather and Carol Fugate. Listener's discretion is advised. If you're a fan of horror movies or true crime, or perhaps both like myself, don't forget to like and subscribe. Also, don't forget to check us out on YouTube at All Things Murder. New episodes on Thursdays. Charles Starkweather was born the third of seven children in 1938 in Lincoln, Nebraska. Seven damn kids. Ladies, your reminder, take your birth control. Seven children. Just saying. His father, Guy, was a carpenter who had arthritis in his hands, which often led him to be unemployed. His mother, Helen, worked as a waitress. Though the family was poor, they managed. We've been there. In school, Charles was often bullied because he had bowed legs and a slight speech impediment. So his legs were kind of like going into each other. Kind of think of Forrest Gump, but a little bit different. He was also very nearsighted, not even able to read the top of the letter on an eye chart, but it wasn't discovered until later when he was a teenager that he was thought of as a slow learner. As he grew older and stronger, the only subject in which Charles excelled was gym, where he found an outlet for his rage against all those who bullied him. Oh, I know some of you are like, Jim, it's such an easy class. No, it is not. I'm not very athletic, okay? I sucked at gym. Gym sucked. Ever tried doing laps and then forgetting to wear a bra? Yeah, gym sucked. At the age of 16, Charles dropped out of high school. He was then introduced to his girlfriend and later his partner in crime, Carol Ann Fugate. They're the girlfriend of his best friend, Bob Von Busch. Carol was 13 at the time, and he was 18. I know it was back then, but that still feels super illegal. Though he was 5 years older than her, they were just madly in love with each other. Oh, I love you, Carol. I love you, Charles. Mwah. He took a job at a Western Union newspaper warehouse as a truck unloader. He chose that because it was close to Carol's junior high school. Like, yeah, gonna be there for my girl after school, my child bride. Charles taught Carol how to drive, and I guess one day she crashed the car, a 1949 Ford that belonged to his dad. His father paid for the damages and threw Charles out of the house, no longer willing to put up with all his bullshit. Like, hey, your bitch crashed my car. You're dating a child. Get out. Charles then quit his job at the warehouse and became a garbage collector, using his route to plan bank robberies, and settled on a personal philosophy. Quote, dead people are all on the same level. Though he never actually carried out any bank robberies. So what was the point? The murder spree. Late on November 30th of 1957, Charles committed his first murder. He went to a gas station to try to buy Carol a stuffed dog toy. Gotta get my lady a toy, a stuffed animal. You know how kids are. When he found out that he wasn't carrying enough money, the manager, Robert Colvert, refused to let him buy it on credit and threw his ass out. Hey man, can I? Hey, no. Money, no honey. Bye bye. At 3 a.m. the next day, he returned with a shotgun. After forcing him to open the store safe and robbing it, he then forced the store owner, Robert, outside of his own car, made him drive to a nearby remote area, and shot and killed him. All over a stuffed fucking dog. Like, just go get some money. Later that day, he did tell Carol about the robbery, though he did leave out the part where he killed a guy. Yeah. Yeah, hey babe, got this for you. Nothing bad happened. Well, I got it. No one died or anything. No, no, no. On January 21st of 1958, he went to Carol's family's house with a rifle and ammunition. That is not how you meet the parents, sir. He fatally shot them, then clubbed to death their 2-year-old daughter, Betty Jean, and hid the bodies behind the house. You killed her entire family? Her 2-year-old sister? Oh my God. Police arrived on the 27th after Carol's grandmother became suspicious and called them, like, hey, I haven't heard from my family. Should probably go check that out. By which time, Carol and Charles had already gone to a farm in Bennett, Nebraska, and killed the owner, August Meyer, and then fled. He's like, I already killed somebody and your parents, so I might as well just keep it going. He also killed the owner's dog. Like, what? Killing people is bad enough. What did the dog do, sir? They hitched a ride from two teenagers, Robert Jensen and Carol King, who were nice enough to give them a ride, and then forced them to drive to a nearby abandoned storm shelter. He shot Robert in the back of the head. He attempted to sexually assault Carol, but was unable to do so. He became so angry that he couldn't get it up, he fatally shot her as well. Charles later admitting to shooting Jensen, but claimed that Carol shot Carol. I know, it's weird. His girlfriend Carol shot the victim Carol. Same name, spelled differently. Carol said she stayed in the car the entire time. So he's saying you shot her, you're saying you stayed in the car, which one is it? The two fled Bennett, Nebraska in Jensen's car. The couple drove to a wealthy section of Lincoln where they entered the home of an industrious C. Lauer Ward and his wife Clara. Only his wife Clara Ward and their maid Lillian Fensel were home at the time. After he killed Clara, the wife, and one of the household's 2 dogs, see, why are you killing the dogs? Stop killing the dogs and people! They forced the maid to make them breakfast. Not only did you just kill her boss in front of her and the dogs, you're like, yeah, how about you make us some eggs Benedict? Why don't you? When Mr. Ward came home that afternoon, he was shot to death. The housekeeper was then tied to a bed and killed as well. They then left in the Ward's Packard. When the bodies were found, a full-scale manhunt began seriously, and the police did a house-to-house search of the area and even called in the National Guard. They're like, oh shit, rich people died. We have to make a whole big deal out of this. Call the National Guard. The FBI was also brought in. The mayor of Lincoln offered a reward of $1,000. When Charles and Carol realized that the car they were driving in would attract attention, because you just stole it off some wealthy rich people, they approached a Buick owned by a guy named Merrill Collision, who was a traveling salesman near the highway close to Douglas, Wyoming. They shot him to death, stole the vehicle, and then drove away. Guy was nice enough to stop, but wrong people, sir. Wrong people. The salesman's car had a parking brake, which was something very new to Charles. He's like, I don't know what the hell this is. How do you use this? While he attempted to drive away, the car stalled because the brake wasn't released. Y'all know you gotta pull the brake off or the car is gonna be all sorts of cattywampus. He tried to restart the car and was passing by a motorist who was a geologist, Joe Sprinkle. He stopped to help them. Charles was like, hey man, back up, and threatened him with a knife. A nearby deputy sheriff, William Romer, noticed there was some sketchy stuff going on, and called for backup, setting off a car pursuit. Carol ran to him, yelling something of the effect of, "It's Starkweather! He's gonna kill me!" And then Charles drove off and was in this car chase with three officers who fired at the car, which stopped in the middle of the road. A bullet shattered the windshield, cutting Charles near the ear enough to make him bleed. So Charles, like, "Oh shit, they're shooting at me!" pulls over. Thinking that he got mortally shot, like, "Oh god, I'm bleeding out!" he pulled over and surrendered so he could get medical attention. Both he and Carol were then arrested and tried in Nebraska. At first, Charles stated that he had forced Carol to come with him, but then changed his story repeatedly, finally asserting, you know, she was a willing accomplice who had actually committed some of the murders. He's like, we were in love. She was willing to come and kill people with me. She was willing, Your Honor. Carol maintained that she had been held hostage, though no one believed her. Charles was only tried and found guilty of the murder of Robert Jensen and was sentenced to death. But there was evidence suggesting that Carol had opportunities to leave Charles that she did not take, so she received a life sentence as his accomplice on November 21st of 1958. Charles Starkweather was executed in the electric chair at the Nebraska State Penitentiary in Lincoln, Nebraska at 12:04 a.m. on June 25th of 1959. Carol was paroled in June of 1976 after serving 17 and a half years at the Nebraska Correctional Center for Women in York, Nebraska. She has since settled in Hillside, Michigan. In 2007, she married a man named Frederick Clare. The two got in a car accident in 2013 when their SUV went off the road. Carol survived with serious injuries, but her husband had died. Do you think she was an accomplice or a hostage? I mean, if there's evidence that she could have escaped, I mean, that could go one of two ways. I mean, he could have lied to her and been like, "If you don't do what I say, I'm gonna kill your family," because, like, she didn't know. Then again, could have taken opportunities to flee. I know I would have taken an opportunity to flee. "I ain't murdered nobody. No thank you, sir." But then again, she could have been a willing accomplice. She could have enjoyed carjacking and killing people. I don't know. Who's to say? What do you think? And that, my friends, is the story of Charles Starkweather and Carol Fugate. Thank you all so much for joining me. I hope you all have a wonderful and safe Valentine's Day. Don't forget to tune in next week for a new All Things Murder, if you dare.